I'd like to call the Transportation Finance Committee to, or Division to order. The reason we didn't start any earlier is because I didn't want to repeat all the things that we're going to be doing. So, otherwise we just started on time. We did have a few members. We will not be taking a vote on the, what we'll be reviewing today are all the bonding requests. And basically what we'll have, according to what Representative Hausman wants, if you look in the back of your sheet that was from Mr. Brewer's, in the back side are all the projects listed. And we'll go through one at a time just to see if there are any objections or whatever. And what we'll be basically doing is just reviewing them for recommendation to be included, or recommending to the bond committee to take a look at them. Basically, that's what Representative Hausman wants. So we will not be voting on them individually. We'll just move the bills to the committee after, unless anyone that should be taken out in the process. So if we could start, if someone moved the minutes first, we'd have that out of the way. Representative Holbrook moved the minutes on March 10th. Are there any questions or additions? If not, all in favor say aye.
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 Contrary? The minutes are approved. Mr. Burris, could I impose on you just to go individually through this one, and I'll just take this question, just to review, like, House File 48 for the committee? And if any of the committee members have any questions or concerns about it, as we go through, if you'd raise those. And if everything, we presume we're not going to have too long a meeting. And just for your information, you should be aware, if you didn't look at the schedule, we will not be having, this committee will not have the committee time next week. It'll be the policy committee. But there'll be a meeting here at the same time, but it's a policy committee. So if you're not on the policy, you may, a few of you that aren't. But also,
24th.
Say your pardon?
24th,
that's right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's a week after. Okay. I thought it was next week. I thought it was 23rd. Then I'm ahead of. But at least you'll be aware of it. The next week we're going to be in trouble. Okay. Mr. Burris, if you'd start, I'd quit. Oh, excuse me. Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Before we get started, I'm looking on the total wish list here is about $91 million. Is there a particular target you think we should be aiming for, or can we go up to that number, or is there something under that that the capital improvement chair is thinking of?
Representative Beard, we don't have any target yet, but we aren't for certain even if there's a bond bill, but Representative Hausman isn't here, but we're preparing in the event there is one.
Okay.
But we should have targets, we presume, my understanding, within after the next week.
Okay.
Representative Morgan?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Let me just make sure I'm clear. The motion on this is going to be to move it without recommendation to the Capital Investment to Finance, or is that what we're doing?
Morgan, basically all we're going to do is approve the memo. We're not voting on it or anything. And the motion. That's the way Representative Hausman wants it to come to. Representative Morgan, Representative Hausman will recall or refer the bills one by one when that happens, apparently.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Beard?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm looking at the list. I think it would probably be prudent to include Representative Hausman's bill in here if we're interested in any of these surviving your committee.
Did you want that?
Did I want to strike Representative Hausman? No, I did not. Let the minutes reflect. I'm not asking you to strike Representative Hausman.
Oh, yes, you probably don't want to be here yet.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Holbrook.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I can understand and respect the process. I'm just a little concerned
So we're going to forward a recommendation with no prioritization. I think it's unlikely that there will be $91 million of transportation projects included in the bill. So I'm wondering, how would the bonding committee be able to differentiate between various projects as far as their importance to the Transportation Finance Committee?
I think, Representative Holmberg, I think there are a couple of the bills in here definitely that have some problems. I mean, some of those, my understanding, some of the items are not bondable. And the other thing, I frankly don't quite know how to answer you, because I've talked to Representative Howison several times, and that's the way she said she wants it, basically. I think there's a concern that, again, we don't know what level, if there is a bonding bill, what level it would be. And I think there's a concern that perhaps a lot of it will not even be involved. Yeah, we're actually checking to see when Representative Howison would be in. She's not here yet. Basically, that's the instruction that I've been given.
Well, and Mr. Chair, I just think that it would be nice if our committee could at least have some type of impact on what the priorities are in the transportation sector, in that it is our committee area. And in the past, we've kind of ranked projects as we forwarded them to the bonding committee. I am grateful that Representative Hausman is on the Transportation Finance Committee, but just our committee forwarding it her this whole list, knowing that some of them have problems, we really haven't had the opportunity as a committee to communicate which projects on the list are the highest priority, so that as she is trying to determine how much money goes to transportation, she then would hopefully make some effort to reflect the priorities of the committee.
Representative Holmberg, I don't have any problem with it. Everybody's got this list. If you want to take it back and prioritize it and bring it to a committee administrator before the next meeting, because we have to turn it in next, or have to, it'd be next week, so we'd have plenty of time. If the committee members want to do it, I don't know how many bills there are. But anyhow, you could prioritize them on the back of this and then turn this sheet into Abby sometime in the next day or two.
And Mr. Chair, would you like us to number all of these projects one through whatever? Or would you like our top five in order? Or how would you like us to do that?
May as well go all the way through. There are, 20 total. All through 1 through 20. Any further comment? No. We got Representative Magnus.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Do any of these projects, are they affected by the recent federal legislation for whatever we're calling the stimulus package, I guess? Are any of these bonding projects or possible bonding projects, are there federal matching funds or requirements? Or are there? I know on the transportation project they're not, but I don't know. I'm not clear in my mind if any of these have strings attached from the federal side. Do you know that?
That's their magnet. Actually, if they are, they'd be taken out the process. We don't have the stimulus identification as far as any of this goes. The only thing we have as far as stimulus goes is a bill which is coming up that authorizes MnDOT to spend stimulus money. There's no dollars or no projects in it. We're not aware of that. But Representative Hollisman is aware of it when they go through it. If it can be affected by stimulus, they won't be using bonding money.
Okay, because that's the question I had, Mr. Chairman, if we were going to rank these and prioritize these, that would certainly be a factor in my decision anyway, if we have to leverage funds or have to put up some funds somehow. So,
Representative Chapman, or Champion, you had a question?
Oh, you didn't? No, I'm indicating that. Representative Hortman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I noticed, I think it was in today's introductions, that you and Representative Morrow introduced the local bridge improvement bonding bill, and I wondered if that would be something we would be forwarding also to the bonding committee. I think it's a brand new bill.
That's the bridge bonding local roads bill, right?
Yeah, that one.
We just introduced that one. We'll have to get it heard.
Mr. Chair, would we consider forwarding that as a recommendation to the bonding committee, or would we need to hear it on Monday to, or Tuesday to, in order to send it?
Right at this point, Representative Hortman, or Hortman, we don't anticipate that would supersede anything with the bonding. The bonding committee, Representative Hausman, is actually taking a look at the numbers, but we put that bill in just in case there is no bond, basically what it is.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Hornstein.
That's okay. My question was answered.
Any further questions? Representative
Mr. Chair, if our number one priority for bonding would be local match for roads and bridges, can we put 21 items on this list? I mean, can we add that so we number it in our priority so it's considered in our recommendations as a committee member?
Representative Hausman, how do you want it? I think we could just list these and we still, the local bridges and the revolving fund have been considered separately usually, and they're separate bills in it. You could list it on there too as far as that goes. I think you'll consider that, Representative Hausman.
Mr. Chair, is the local bridge bill the only remaining bonding bill that you haven't heard, or are there others you still have to hear on Tuesday?
No. The combination local bridge and revolving fund, I believe it is, or local road one. That's they're in one bill.
And we're receiving recommendations on both Tuesday and Thursday, and I had offered to Representative Leader if he wanted to wait till Thursday to recommend to my committee, that would still give you Tuesday in this committee to make certain that you included.
Representative Hausman, I don't know if you were here. Basically, what we'll be doing now on the back side of this sheet, the numbers as we go through them, not as we go through them, but the committee members individually will identify their priorities and they're going to turn them into Abby. It may not be today, but it would happen by next week. Any further questions? Representative Swale?
Mr. Chair, I have had to do a lot of ranking in the past with different things with students and student activities. To ask us to do 20 or 21 rankings seems excessive to me, and I really do think it would probably be easier for those tallying the results to have no more than 10 in terms of ranking.
She's only going to be able to run that many anyhow, whatever you want to do. If you only want to put 10, that's fine. We better have something. But basically, the committee has heard these bills, so there's not any reason that we should spend too much time on each one, unless there are particular problems. Any further questions, Representative Beard?
Just one more comment, Mr. Chair. As we spoke up today, we threw one more bonding request for actual projects that are ready to go for two more airport projects. The total is $3.7 million. That's in the hopper today. The hearing request is in, and I think we'll hear that on Tuesday in this committee. I think that's what Abs mentioned. That will also be added to this list, and I would, when I speak to it on Tuesday, we'll talk about why I think it has merit for being included. But this list actually has two more, has local roads and bridges and two more airport projects that are ready to go.
Any further comments or questions? If not, Mr. Burris, would you just kind of go through and just, if there are questions, we'll go through each one and find out if there's a problem. So if they're going to rank them, they know what's going on.
Mr. Chair and members, the first item on the list is Red Rock Corridor, and this is $2 million for funding park and rides and pre-design and preliminary engineering for a possible extension of the commuter rail route to Red Wing.
Does anyone have questions or comments?
Mr. Chair, I don't have a question, but they were kind enough to forward me a very detailed delineation of how they would spend that money, and I don't know if that went to the whole committee or not, but that was something that they requested, and I actually have up in my office, so I wanted the committee to know that they do have very specific expenditures now listed for that money, and I'd be happy to share that with anybody that would like that.
Representative Hausman, you will be watching too for not bondable items when we're talking about this?
Where the language, Mr. Chair, is either needs correcting or where we need to inform people that the language they have isn't bondable, we'll do that. To whoever, Representative Magnus, who asked the question, when we do the bonding bill, matching federal money is always one of those items that goes right to the top, and so a number of these do, but we'll actually determine that and have dollar amounts so that we know what those federal matches are. So that's part of the language, determining if something's bondable, does it match federal money, all of those are sort of measures.
Representative Hausman, also that won't affect, if they rate it, it doesn't make any difference. If one of them knocks out, the next one moves up. So.
If you rate something high and it's not bondable, it's obviously that's.
Are there any questions on the Red Rocks corridor? Other than the fact that they have to be concerned about how they're going to spend the money as the operation? Not Mr. Brewer?
Mr. Chair, members, the second item on the list is House File 83. This is $4.9 million for new terminal facilities at the Duluth International Airport.
Mr. Reiner, or Representative Reiner? Representative Beard.
Mr. Chair, just I know we'll go over this again, but this is a project that actually is ready to go. It needs to be done soon, and it's actually ready to go. If this is approved, we're going to have contractors working on this thing within 90 to 120 days, which is one thing I think I'd like to ask us to consider. I know Mr. Burris can speak to it when he's just giving us the brief description of each of these, but for instance, like the next one, there's going to be some consultants that are going to be put to work, I'm sure, doing study projects, but I'm more interested right now in actually having people who drive bulldozers and pull wire and weld things for a living actually being put to work within the next quarter than I am in having consultants doing research and running calculators, I guess. So this is one I'd speak to strongly, that it's ready to go. It's ready to go, and real jobs are going to happen real quick.
Thank you, Representative Beard. Next, the comment we need, whether you're for or against it, or deterrent, let the committee know if you were in there rating it, they would understand. Any further questions or comments? Not Mr. Burris.
Mr. Chair, members, the next two are similar with a notable difference. First one, House File 124, is on high-speed rail, and this is via Rochester. And it is for $500,000 for preliminary engineering.
Any comments? Not Representative Welty.
Thank you, Chair, Leader, and members. I just remind members of the discussion that we had when Representative Liebling presented the bill, just talking about the, you know, the economics taken into consideration. Rochester is the third largest city in the state, with the number one largest employer. And besides that, I definitely think that there's a case to be made to run high-speed rail through the community of Rochester.
Representative Demmer?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I just want to speak on this also. First of all, there's a big difference, $500,000 to $10 million, so we got a better deal. But I guess what I would comment about, tagging on to what Representative Welty just said, you know, there's also an international airport in Rochester, and I think when we look at multimodal, when we look at a multi-generational project, we have to be thinking about long-term, and I would encourage members to give that consideration. The largest private employer in the state of Minnesota is in Rochester. It's a destination point for people internationally, as well as people from Chicago and Twin Cities. That's the Mayo Clinic. In addition to that, with the international airport in Rochester, there's an intermodal connection there that I think would be very important. So as we look long-term and look at doing the right thing, Mr. Chair and members, I'd have you take those into consideration also.
Thank you. Representative Welty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And one last point I just want to make. On the issue of where this railroad goes, and we've looked at the Midwest Regional Rail Study, just want to remind you, that's a line on a piece of paper. No preliminary engineering, no environmental analysis has been done yet as far as a formal study. So this is the preliminary engineering that we're asking for, and I definitely would make the case that this should be funded.
Any further comment? If not,
Mr. Chairman, members, the next one is also high-speed rail to Chicago. This is the route through Red Wing, Winona, La Crescent, and so forth, and it's $10 million for environmental analysis.
Representative Devlin, is that the same situation as Representative Welty? Any further comment? Okay. Not Mr. Burris?
Mr. Chairman, members, the next one is House File 263. This is $8.5 million for engineering design land acquisition for Central Corridor.
Any comment? If not, the next one, Mr. Burris.
Mr. Chair, members, next one would be House File 316. This is for work on the Union Depot design, engineering, environmental analysis, land acquisition. This is for $9 million.
Representative
Beard. Chairman, thank you. I'm going to just ask a couple quick questions, Representative Hausman, on the last two that Mr. Burris talked about. Central Corridor is actually a going project, already been approved, it's already underway, we're just biting it off in chunks that we can pay for, I believe, correct?
This is the last dollar amount. Mm-hmm. Half of this will be the federal funding, mm-hmm. and the other half is a combination of state, Hennepin County, and Ramsey County.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, the state had $70 million in the bill last year. This is the last of the state's portion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So what I'm getting at is, though, is like it or lump it, whether you're for or against light rail isn't the issue. The issue is this is a real project. We pulled the trigger on it. It's happening, correct?
This one and House File 316, there is actually $50
million okay.
in federal money for that that project.
That was my next.
That's the one we're picking away at gradually. Central Corridor. This is the last dollar amount, but the Union Depot, because there is $50 million of federal money to match, that's the one we're only nibbling at.
As we roll through these, Mr. Chair, I'm looking at first of all just the ones that actually have real jobs that are going to hit within 30, 60, 90 days. I'm also looking at the ones that are real project that the state is pretty much committed to. This being one of them, it's pretty much a done deal. We probably won't have boots on the ground in 90 days, but this is part of a process that will get us to that point. Which
on,
leads me
on behalf, I will say, on behalf of architects and engineers, they want to work too.
Okay, then we'll have Oxford.
I'll speak on behalf of Matt Dean and others. There are all kinds of jobs in these construction, and I think we do need to remember that some of them are at the early end of these projects, and they are professional jobs.
Yeah. That is a good observation. Thank you for calling us our attention. Mr. Chair, then, when it comes to Union Depot, that's the one I'm not clear on. Is that actually part of the Central Corridor project that's been federally approved now, or are we still hassling over just exactly where it's going to go and where it ends?
No, Mr. Chair, I'm sorry. The high-speed route from Chicago, we know it's going to come up the border and into St. Paul. There's some question about where it goes as it continues through the state. There are dots on the map that haven't been studied. The one that if I just had to guess, I would assume the one that eventually goes to St. Cloud and Fargo-Moorhead is likely, but those studies haven't been done. The role that Union Depot plays is as all of these modes come together, someplace you have to have the tracks and the cars and the buses and all of the interchange of modes, and that's what happens at Union Depot.
Justin Beard, I appreciate any time you can comment as far as shovel ready with these jobs or anyone. So that gives them an idea how to prioritize.
Maybe we ought to have another part of that phrase, slide rule ready. Maybe that's the better way to say it.
Rip and swell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I know that Mr. Burris is incredibly competent, but he did not mention the high-speed rail project via Red Wing, and since we had the Rochester tag team doing such an eloquent job there, I would like to just speak on behalf of the Red Wing project. The tracks would follow along the river. I believe that that is something that we are really hoping will proceed. When we talk about it on the East Metro, we love the city of Rochester, and we have the deepest respect for it. But we think that if there could be some sort of a terminus where, you know, a smaller train or buses could take passengers then into downtown Rochester, that for us seems very viable. And these tracks along the river coming up from Red Wing are there, and it seems to us a very logical place for us to have the high-speed rail from Chicago.
Thank you. Representative Severson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I apologize for coming in late, and I didn't get in on the high-speed rail Chicago discussion much, but I just want to go back a year ago when we were talking about some of this rail initiatives here, and one of the things I had asked, and perhaps Representative Portman has that in the stack of reports that she had the other day, but there was some significant concern on my and other parties part in that there is a conflict between freight movement, logistics, and passenger rail, and how that interacts, and are we really being realistic and going after a dream here when we're talking about huge amounts of utility time on these tracks and foregoing that for passenger, which is already an established, you know, route between here and who knows where with the airlines process. And I guess what I'm asking in a short sentence here, is there a study that tells us that actually implementing an interregional corridor between Minneapolis, Rochester, and Chicago is going to be financially feasible in terms of competition and in terms of freight costs or boost in cost because of the time? Maybe Representative Beard would like to speak to that issue as well.
Are you going to speak? I think Representative Morrow or Hortman may want to speak too. Representative Beard?
Well, thank you for rolling that grenade over here, Representative.
It looks like you needed a little excitement over there, Representative Beard.
No, just speaking of high-speed rail, I remember listening to discussion here, and the term high-speed, I think, is a little subjective, but folks, you will not have high-speed rail down the river valley unless you do major construction on curves and straightening some things out along the Mississippi. You'll have pretty fast rail to Chicago down the river, but you will not have high-speed rail to Chicago via the Mississippi River. When the Chicago Northwestern used to run 400 miles in 400 minutes, you'll note that they went to Eau Claire and Toma and Madison. They stayed far away from the river where they could make their lines very straight and very solid. And if we're going to have high-speed rail to Chicago, I would submit to you we're going to have to go to Rochester, and I'm not speaking in favor of high-speed rail. I'm just mentioning just the facts of the lay of the land, that that's kind of where it's at. You'll have pretty fast rail down the river, but you'll never have high-speed rail if high-speed is described as somewhere north of 100 miles an hour on the straightaways or in between station stops. But it is a good point. It's one that we've raised a couple times. What's the impact on Southwest, AirTran, Northwest Delta? Because they fly to Chicago a lot every day. And if Chicago's where we're trying to get, do we want to get there in an hour for $99, or do we want to get there in 400 minutes for whatever price a rail to Chicago will charge us? I don't know. That's the discussion. And when I talk about real projects, like I talked about Representative Hausman, we've pretty much made the commitment, and we've got everything in line on the Central Corridor thing. I'm understanding that the high-speed rail to Chicago is still a study effort, still very much a lobbying effort, and isn't what I call a real project yet. It's still in the study, and gee, we hope we can do this mode, but let's keep looking and trying. And so I guess that's all I have to say about that. If I'm happy to punt the grenade over to Representative Morrow, if he'd like to pick it up, or whoever, Mr. Chair, thank you very much.
Representative Morrow?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Beard, and Representative Severson. I think much of what Representative Beard says is accurate, and I do appreciate Representative Severson mentioning
freight rail, and we do, the three of us will be attending a meeting on the state rail plan, which I think is an indispensable part of these kind of discussions. I believe that'll be next week. The one thing, Mr. Chair, I did want to make sure that we threw in, and it was Representative Beard who was talking about the Duluth Airport that reminded me, and I did check with our friends in MnDOT, that we still, the one unknown here is the economic stimulus money. There is money that we don't control. For example, the FAA will be designating airports, and I've asked MnDOT and tried to get MnDOT's assurance that MnDOT will keep us and keep Representative Housman's committee up to date on when federal money for any project that may be on this list has been allocated, and to let us all know, because that will certainly affect the way that the Capital Investment Committee proceeds.
Did you have any comment on the freight rail for Representative Severson?
I think I have an opportunity coming up in about 4 minutes here, so I think I'll wait until we get down to a freight rail project.
Representative Hortman, you didn't have a comment.
Well, Mr. Chair, I know Representative Severson and I share support for the North Star Commuter Rail, and that was a big issue because that is a very well-utilized freight route. And as part of the development, before we got to the stage of funding it, there were negotiations with Burlington Northern to determine whether it was really feasible to run passenger rail. At the same time, you've got a very busy freight corridor. In some places it will work, and in some places it won't. And so I think that that determination will be made on a case-by-case basis. But it's a good point, because freight rail traffic is going up in this country and is probably going to be increasing a lot more in the future. So we'll have to keep looking at that in each corridor to make sure we're not just dreaming about the idea that we could accommodate both.
Representative Dimmer?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Representative Beard kind of stole my thunder a little bit, not from the standpoint of in a very soft, I'll give him a soft admonition for Rochester, but there's a big difference between these projects, Mr. Chair. Number one, the proposal from Representative Liebling, I believe, is indeed of what Representative Severson is talking about to study. We got to make sure we have a clear understanding. This is, again, multi-generational we're talking about here. Also, I would submit that, and there is a difference between high-speed rail and commuter rail, and this is high speed, and I'm not sure high speed when you're talking via Red Wing is accurate. They're not the same thing. Granted, going through Rochester would be new, but that would mean it could be high speed, and also it could mean that Rochester could be a stop. If we go down the river and it's truly high speed, there may or may not be stops along the way because there isn't the population to justify that. Whereas if we do study this, and that's why the study and not $10 million to do it, because that's pushing it. I think it's pushing the envelope. We need to make sure we do this right. And we could potentially, Rochester is large enough, and there's enough stuff going on between the airport and the Mayo Clinic, and because of also the distance, it could be a terminus, which could actually be a benefit to not only western Minnesota coming across over to Rochester to jump on, if they so desired, but quite frankly, also for the communities along the river who might want to get on more often and not have to drive to either Twin Cities or whatever to get on, or not even be able to use it and just watch them go by. So I think we do need to walk before we run on this. We're not looking for a $10 million deal here because it's not ready. We do need to study what this is. Remember that it's multi-generational, and remember that we want to consider a transportation plan that's multimodal, and I think diligence and patience and doing the right thing will circumvent the need to do something fast. And so that would be my thoughts on that.
Thank you, Ruffin. You made another point. Actually, the one thing, Amtrak, I did meet with Amtrak, and whether it's Rochester or Winona or whatever it is, that they can accommodate. Everything is a problem is money. So, I mean, it can be accommodated. I think you're making a pitch again for the committee. I hope you're making a pitch. That's what you're doing here. To consider for prioritizing. Okay. Any further comments?
Mr. Chair.
Oh, Representative Severson.
Yeah, I just want to say thanks for the discussion. I think that's a hope for that. You know, we can move all this out in the open and get all the considerations out on the table, and then make a good decision for the people of Minnesota. And I appreciate the process. Thank you,
Mr. Berg.
And Mr. Chair and members. The next bill is House File 364. This will provide $3 million to the Port Development Assistance Program, which is administered by MnDOT.
Very Representative Hausman.
And, Mr. Chair, I'll speak on behalf of that. I think that if we think about transportation alternatives, that we need to think about moving more freight by both rail and water. And so our ports become important. For 2 years, the ports haven't received anything. 2 years ago, the entire bill was vetoed, and last year it was line item vetoed. And so that has been a fund that hasn't really gone forward recently. And so just speaking on behalf of that bill.
Anyone else? Not Mr. Burris.
Mr. Chair, members, House File 373 is the next one. This is the Northern Lights Express providing passenger rail service from the Twin Cities to Duluth. And the authorization would be $1 million for design and environmental analysis and construction.
Representative Reinert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, I find myself almost repeating identically what Representative Demmer was saying about the Rochester project. You know, we've got a situation, at least on the northern end, and I'll just speak for the northern end because we have many metro partners on the southern end of this, but we've got an international airport in Duluth, which hopefully we're going to provide a much-needed enhancement in terms of a new terminal. This would add to a truly multimodal situation for us in Duluth. We, of course, have the freeway coming, I-35. We have the international airport. We have the only freeway port in the state, and then, in this case, passenger rail. And Representative Demmer made a good clarification earlier about high-speed versus commuter, and in this case, we're on the northern end of the fund, we're talking passenger. It's that intercity transportation that I think is critical as we look at potentially a new rail backbone. And we also have the largest private employer north of, not in the state, but north of Minneapolis-St. Paul in St. Mary's Duluth Clinic with 6,500 employees. And the unique thing about this line, at least on the northern end, is that we also have Grand Casino Hinkley, which is like adding a city of 1 million people into the middle of the line. And frankly, members, that's what makes this line on the northern end really work well. I do want to just make sure, you know, as you look at the little bit of information we've got on our spreadsheet, it kind of sounds like we're just starting this project. And in fact, we're well down the road on it. The legislature has invested in this project previously. Every county that this line goes through, as well as the cities of Minneapolis and Duluth, have put cash on the table for 3 years running now. So there's local skin in the game as well. So we would appreciate your consideration.
Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess my concern with a lot of these new projects is, you know, how are we going to fund them in the future? I mean, what's going to be the maintenance on them? And I just think, you know, we've got our hands full the way it is with a lot of this, you know, road maintenance and stuff. We can hardly afford to maintain what we have. And so if someone would want to speak to some of that, I think it's going to be an ongoing expense I'm not sure we can handle.
Mr. Chair. I can't speak of anybody else's project, but in the case of the Northern Lights Express, Representative Scott, that actually generates an operating surplus, so it will maintain itself once we've made the infrastructure investment.
Representative Hausman, is there a question with the total bonding in this one?
I don't think so.
Okay. Any further comments? If not, Mr. Burris.
Mr. Chair and members, the next one is House File 383. This is for the Southwest Corridor Transitway. It would be for environmental work and preliminary engineering on a corridor running from Minneapolis to Eden Prairie, and the authorization is for $5
million.
Mr. Chair, Holberg.
Have we seen an actual list of what that money would be spent for? I'm going through my handouts here, and I must have missed that, Dave. I'm not seeing any list of how the money would actually be spent. Does somebody have that, or?
Representative, you don't have any comment on that. Is Mr. Burris?
I have files on all of these affairs, but
we have copies of all the bills here.
You mean the different
ones? You want a copy of the bill, Representative Burris?
No, Mr. Chair, as is the case with most of these, they ask for a blanket amount of money. and some of them have been better than others in telling us what we'd get for the money. And so it's hard for me to recommend funding not knowing what we're buying with the money.
And I would
echo that. I haven't heard from Dakota County yet on Representative Hansen's bill, and I'm also looking at the Cedar Avenue BRT handout, and it's pretty vague as far as what they would do with the $12 million. So there might be people in the audience that can speak to that as well.
We also do have, or I imagine the bond committee is going to get pretty thorough on the dollar amount. These are kind of preliminary, presume, too. Representative, or not Representative Burris, but Mr. Burris, do you have any comments? Or?
Yeah, I have that. Pretty.
Representative Hornstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I can take a little bit of a crack at the answer to that question that Representative Holberg raised, just to review for members, because I think Representative Simon did go over this in the testimony, but this corridor is getting fairly far along. We're now in the process of determining the final route. It'll either go Eden Prairie to Minneapolis via what's called the Kenilworth Corridor near Lake of the Isles, or it'll go through Uptown. And that determination will be made by the end of the year, and then you enter into this new phase of preliminary engineering where you, prepare the actual route for the eventual construction and engineering. So that's, I think, what's understood in terms of preliminary engineering. And the total cost is $30 to $35 million, we understand.
For the preliminary
engineering. And members, just one final comment about this, and I've been involved in the process over the last few years, that there is one stop in my district. This has been a real case study of a wide variety of interests along the corridor really coming together in a very focused way, whether it's the business community, the various chambers of commerce. Hennepin County has been an active player. We've had the cities a real partner, the City of Minnetonka, City of St. Louis Park, City of Hopkins, and Eden Prairie, individual businesses along the route. So folks are really ready to go, and we're just awaiting that final determination of what the route will be. But we have good ridership figures on this, and I think it's a great corridor.
Any further comments? Okay, Mr. Burris?
Mr. Chair, members, the next one is House File 391. This is the Rush Line Corridor Transitway, which runs along portions of Interstate I-35 and Trunk Highway 61 or along that corridor. This would be $1 million for parking rides.
Representative
Hausman. And Mr. Chair, I'm just going to make a point now about all of the corridors and all of the remaining on this list, because the comment really relates to all of them. One, we've actually arrived at that point already where everyone wants one. For a long time in this state, we debated whether to go in this direction at all. And this happens everywhere, all across the country. But inevitably, after the first one is built, everyone sees, oh, that's how it's going to work. And then the pendulum swings in the other direction, and everyone wants one. Now, what we're doing, though, is really a process that doesn't take place in virtually any other state. And that is, in a sense, because both our governance and funding, we've just never addressed. I can recall going to a conference a number of years ago when all of the cities that are now Phoenix and Denver and Utah and they were all on a panel, and they all talked about their process and this very methodical process of working through the community and determining corridors and modes and so forth. And then I raised my hand and I said, but what happens when the legislature finally has to make the decision? And they all looked at me blankly, and in every one of their cases, they said, it never does. That the governance model has it always in the hand of that very careful professional work on determining what's the map going to look like, which are the corridors, what's the mode, which is the first priority, that it is just a process, a planning process, that plays itself out within whatever governance model they have. And then the funding stream funds that, so that legislatures don't do what we do here, where we debate every individual corridor. And I am convinced that one of these years we're going to have to spend time in the interim, and we're going to have to come to grips with this. Because it is going to hurt our economy. Other states are moving ahead of us, and we are going to have to face the reality that we've got kind of a screwed up act going. So that's my comment about all of them, is that everyone wants one now, and obviously you are going to have a whole system, and it is going to serve everyone, and hopefully taxpayer money will be well spent and equitably spent, and it will provide a true transportation alternative, but it's a difficult process that we're going through both here around the table and generally.
Yep. Representative Hornstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I would just like to concur with Representative Hausman's analysis of this. I did want to add one thing, however, that we took at least one step, whether it's small or large, I think will be determined in the future, but we did take one step towards addressing some of this dysfunction last year in the transportation bill when we did get that dedicated quarter-cent sales tax, and that does mirror some of the other communities that Representative House was talking about. And this is an answer to Representative Scott's question, which is that would be the funding source for operating these systems once they're up and running. So I do think we have that in large part taken care of with the action of the legislature in overriding the governor's veto last year.
Representative Magnus.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I got a question on the, as we look at all these lines. Mr. Chairman, are these lines subject to the cost-benefit index system that was in place as a requirement for the federal funding to match these lines?
I don't know if individually they have been, but generally when the feds look at it, that's the big issue.
Well, I think, Mr. Chairman, it was my understanding when what's-his-name came in from Washington, Congressman Oberstar, he said that the new administration threw that out. They don't have to fit the cost-benefit index study anymore, analysis, do they?
I've got two fingers up here.
I guess I'm confused about that.
Representative
Hausman.
As far as I know, it has not yet been thrown out, but the assumption is it's obviously going to be replaced with something. But the CEI that was in place, all of those people out there who have worked with it could tell you better than I the struggles they've had with it. So it's more that one wasn't working very well, and not that we don't have to have something. Absolutely, there will be a system in place to measure. That's the only way they'd know where to send their money, because they have to have something to measure against. And whether they call it CEI or something, there will be something to replace it.
Representative Hornstein, yes.
Well, and thank you, Michelle. And my understanding, Representative Magnus, is that this goes through a rulemaking process through the FTA, the Federal Transit Administration. And so, Representative House is correct, and you are as well, that Congressman Oberstar doesn't like the current system. He wants to change it, and not quite sure the timeline for it. I think it would be by the end of the year, but I know that they have been taking public comments. It's possible that period has come to a close, and now the FTA is evaluating those comments and will probably come up with some new recommendations for Congress.
Mr. Magnus.
Well, Mr. Chairman, that
gets to my point as I'm trying to sort through how we would prioritize these. I don't know if they match in, you know, some sort of needs index that we have. It appears that we don't, according to them, my friends over here, we don't have a system in place that does that. I don't know how we're going to prioritize these if there's a system to come up in the future, or are we supposed to look at this? Are we just going to say, well, that project will go, and it doesn't meet us?
I would presume that kind of purges itself as the process goes. I think if we're going to get locked into a situation here, we won't be approving anything if we don't keep moving pretty quickly. But basically, it's going through the bond committee. But a lot of this is stuff beyond what we normally deal with, too, because when it's federal money involved, there's a lot of criteria that they're going to have to jump through those hoops, as we found out for the many years that we haven't got anything.
Well, that's the point, Mr. Chairman, when we looked at the North Star, for example, you know, all the changes that have taken place with that line because of the federal regulations also, too. I mean, that's, we have a lot of wishes here, and obviously some of those aren't going to work, although they seem to be clamoring to put it. I want to get a transit line to Slayton so I can take that instead of driving. I'm not sure it'll fit in any need balance, but we could get it to Morton, I think.
Representative Swales, do you have a...
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I asked Representative Morrow about the statewide rail plan, and he says that that will be here by the end of the year, 2009. As we try to prioritize a list that is, the majority are rail projects, and so won't that statewide rail plan inform the priority as we hear from this group that is putting this together? I guess I'm just maybe a little confused or maybe a little naive. I'm not sure which.
I would hope things would move that fast. I don't think you have to worry about that. Really, I think you're going to have a lot of chance to look at these before anything happens. Representative Newton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question regarding the Transportation Advisory Board. Don't they rank projects? They review the projects carefully and then come up with a numbering system and rank the ones that they think should be top priorities. And if so, why are we doing this?
Representative Horton, are you going to answer that? If not, Norman.
My understanding is that, Mr. Chair, that I don't think they're really involved in transit projects per se, but there are road projects in the region that they rank, as you mentioned.
Does that give you some kind of a...
Yes.
Okay. Any further questions? Representative Holberg, do you have a question? Oh, okay.
He's just enjoying the hearing.
Mr. Burris.
Mr. Chair, members, the next item on the list is House File 637. This is the Bonneau Boulevard Transitway Corridor running from Brooklyn Park and or Maple Grove to Minneapolis. And this would be $500,000 for environmental review.
That's important.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just a brief comment. The entity that does rank these and will decide in which order to fund them is the county's transit improvement board that we created last year and that is providing the operating revenue. And I think Representative Hausman is right that we do need a body to be making decisions based on data and ridership and things like that, and that's part of what the CTIP does. And just like the legislature doesn't fund specific road projects, we will get to a point in time when we fix the governance piece that we're not funding specific rail projects. But if we were funding specific rail projects and we were picking winners, this would be a winner because I'm sure on every measure of success it would meet or exceed our expectations. The potential target campus when we get out of the recession is going to generate a lot of ridership. And the commercial area in Maple Grove is booming, and so this would be a well-used line.
Okay. Representative Nelson, that was a short comment. Was usually short.
Hopefully mine will be short also. And just to remind you also that last year's bonding bill, previously
there was bonding money that were gone to, had gone to this line for study and for development, and last year's bonding bill, because of the switching from a busway to looking at all the different alternatives, that money went back to the state. So they previously had money that they gave back. So, I mean, this is basically giving us the money that for that line to study it and get it up and running and get it on par with the Southwest Corridor and other ones that the county's looking at. If we were previously, this line was in the queue to be worked on, and we gave the money back to the state. So,
Representative Champion.
I agree, Mr. Chair, with Representative Hortman. Specifically, this corridor would also travel through my district, and this is also going to be an interesting notion as I'm going to try to make sure that there is a nexus between land use, economic development, and a distressed area, and making sure that this line doesn't go around us but comes through our district.
Any further comments? Representative Holbert.
Representative Hortman, the mode hasn't been chosen yet for this line, is that correct?
Representative Hortman. I didn't hear the head shake.
That's correct, sorry. A mode hasn't been chosen. If I referenced the mode, it might have been just my preference for what the mode would be selected.
Any further comments? If not, Mr. Brewer.
Mr. Chair and members, House File 660 is the next one. This is for railroad track rehabilitation from Norwood Run, Young America, excuse me, to Hanley Falls, and this would be for $10
million. Representative Morrell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Peterson, if I got a bill for you. Okay, so that's what the rail looks like right now on that line. This is what the rail should be.
Did you go to my office and get those?
No, I sent a page. We've got 84 miles, a little bit less because we bonded $3 million for this. We've got about 70-some miles that goes to Representative Seifert, Coonan, Coles, Broad, to my district for a freight rail line, a publicly owned freight rail line that needs to go from this to this. Now, Representative Beard. Thank you very much for Trains Magazine.
Sure, you're welcome.
I know in Trains Magazine, the historical image is of a diesel road switcher trundling down a 10-mile-per-hour line with 20 covered hoppers. Members, the Minnesota Prairie Line that this money is for, this stuff, goes 7 miles an hour. In other words, I can outrun the freight rail line. I thought I never used to to say that, so I took my camera this morning and I got on a treadmill. For 1 mile, I outran the Minnesota Prairie Line. Now, as Representative Morgan says, I wasn't pulling 20 covered hoppers. But, members, this would take the line from 7 to 10 miles an hour to 25 miles an hour. It would allow them to go from 20 cars to over 100 cars. It takes trucks off the road. We have an 80,000-foot facility that's looking to go along this line from Land O'Lakes, the first investment, major investment they're making in Minnesota. We have other businesses that want to come along this line. So we've got to get from this to this.
Representative Beard.
Thank you. Well done, Representative Morrow. And this is one of those, not only will slide rules be employed immediately, but this is ready to go. There's folks lined up to actually do the rebuild on a portion of the track. Just to be clear, though, the money does not go to the railroad company itself that operates the line. Actually, there's a joint rail authority of several counties that own it, so it's a governmental entity that actually will take possession of the money and do the rework. So, thank you.
Okay. Mr. Brewer.
Mr. Chair, members, the next one is House File 765. This is for work on a replacement bridge. It does involve rail because it goes over a rail yard, but this is a bridge bill, and this would be for $6.1 million.
Is anyone comment familiar with that or not?
Mr. Chair, I thought we couldn't have a problem.
Representative Hausman, that one, you know, the bonding committee visited it once, but what was the comment of the room in the committee?
When the bill was heard here?
Mm-hmm.
I
think there were options they had choices on the bridge. But definitely the bridge needs replacement, I'm aware of that. Because that's over the rail. And it was a combination of rail monies and some...
Mr. Chair, I believe it was also that the North Star, or not the Northern Star one, would go underneath that.
Yeah.
And so that getting those bridges replaced would assist in that project and assist delays and if the Northern Star line goes through. What's that?
I think that's the Northern line.
Right,
yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I guess we...
Northern Lines Express.
It goes under it, not on it.
Because it goes underneath it, yes, but it would, replacing the bridge would prevent delays on traffic along that.
We had some previous bond money in it, I see, in 2007. And I know that it's really it's not that big a project, but it really needs to be done. It's only a two-lane, as I remember, too. Any further comment? Not Mr. Burris?
Mr. Chair and members, the next one is House File 828. This is for the Robert Street corridor running along Highway 52 from Rosemount into St. Paul, and the amount is $4 million.
Anyone want to comment?
No, just here, this is one we're still looking for how the money's exactly going to be spent. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm looking for.
Apparently you're all familiar with it too, so. Mr. Burris, the next one.
Mr. Chair, members, this one is House File 833. Again, this is the rush line corridor for parking rides. This is for $1 million.
Well, that's a duplication. Basically, we got two of them in there, Kalen's and hers.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Mr. Chair, members, these are similar projects being funded right under different bills.
Okay. Oh, the next one, Mr.
Bernie.
Oh, Representative Mason.
I just have a question. I know there's been discussion regarding the rush line and some of the others, but in view of the fact that we're looking for some confirmation for the state road rail plan that's coming at the end of the year, is there the possibility that some of these things on here might be, not everything here is, could actually be part of it or is complementary? Could there be duplications in here that we could conceivably be funding inadvertently?
There's a possibility, but I know Representative Hausman's fully aware of it, and the bond committee will be going back through it. That's the concern we have, too, really. And these are not only not going to make it. There's no doubt about it. We don't have that kind of money.
Okay.
But definitely we'll be looking at them all.
Okay, thank you.
Apparently, 391, House File 391, is basically duplication. We can eliminate that one. Mr. Burris, I believe you can go proceed.
Mr. Chair, members, House File 846 is the next one. This is $10 million to fund the MRSI program, Minnesota Rail Service Improvement Program, which is administered by MnDOT.
Basically, that's one we pretty much try to fund each year, but we haven't been doing it. They've been asking for bonding money each year, and we haven't funded it. And really what it amounts to is, it's a revolving loan to some degree, and also some grants involved with that.
And Mr. Chair, I believe this was not in the Senate bill. We already have a good fortune to see what made it in the Senate bill, and this one did not make it there. So, I mean, you do have to be somewhat conscious of if you want something like this to at least get into conference committee, we have to be more conscious of this one than...
I think we've actually funded it. I don't remember each year what we funded, but they have a basically like a bank which depletes itself and gets reimbursed practically everything, the loans. Most of them get repaid. There have been a few defaults, very little. Mm-hmm. And this basically, we put some more money money back into it, which they need, and they've got requests for it. Any other comments? Representative Beard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, and I mentioned that this is a revolving loan fund, and had, I think, when the first $4 billion plus budget crunch hit 6 years ago, when we served on this committee, there was, I believe, $4 or $5 million that had been repaid that was sitting in the account, and they were ready to loan it again for projects, and we swept it out of there in that emergency. And I don't know that we've replenished it or replenished it much at all. Yeah. And again, there are projects standing ready to go. It wouldn't be a grant like the bill Representative Morrow's carrying for the Rail Coalition of Counties out there. That'll be a grant. This is actually the revolving loan fund that MnDOT actually has an office that administers this and goes through and screens the programs and helps people along with it. So I would speak strongly in favor of that one also.
Mr. Burris?
Mr. Chair, members, the next one is House File 851. This is $2 million for the St. Cloud Regional Airport for additional land acquisition.
Do we have anyone speaking in favor of that? We'll wait and see this.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This has been one of those projects, that has been on the docket, been worked numerous times, gotten dropped off in conference committee, and unfortunately, one of the things I will say is that, in a present economy, last year I would have said, if we don't buy this land now, it's probably going to continue to go up in price. I don't know that that's the case anymore, and I think that's a good reflection on a lot of these projects, that if they get delayed a year, we don't know what those prices are going to be. So I'm not going to use that for the justification, but I will use the justification that it's been a worthy project for the last 4 years, and it is land that is potentially getting encroached on up there. We can run into the same things we ran into with the MAC down here, where we had buildings coming in and then people wanting us to put money into soundproofing them because we've built an airport next to it. So I think this is a worthy project to invest in. It's probably not going to get cheaper. At best, it's going to stay the same, and we run into the problems of possible encroachment onto that land, and then having to pay a higher price to continue the further development. It is one of the main airport reliever airports for Minnesota, and it has a tremendous opportunity, as was stated in the testimony, that we've got the guard base up there now, which is creating even greater economic activity. So it's a very good project, and I would encourage support for it. And I would roll this over to Representative Beard as well.
Any further comment? Mr. Burris?
Mr. Chair, members, the next one is House File 960. This would be for land acquisition and construction on the Cedar Avenue Bus Rapid Transitway in Apple Valley and Lakeville. The amount for this one is $12
million. That's amazing.
This has been a project that has involved a number of agencies and governments. It is expected to be opening this fall or in some aspects of it in 2010. So, I mean, it is a work in progress. And then the final bus rapid transit service would begin in 2011. And this is the last portion of the money from the state, as my understanding.
This is the last portion?
Yeah.
Representative Holbrook.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Mason, do you know how the $12 million will be spent, where the lines are, and if, in fact, that work can actually be done on top of all the other UPA work that's being done in the next year?
Okay, you have this. That has the general aspect, and I can get you specific figures later on if that'll be helpful.
All right, thank you.
Any further comments? Not Mr. Burris?
Mr. Chair and members, House File 1210 is the next one. This is the Little Crow Transitway running in a corridor around Highway 12 from Wilmer to Minneapolis. This would be for $500,000 for alternative analysis, preliminary engineering, some other project development.
Oh, there is comment.
We all better.
Mr.
Chair, I hear Representative Rodolph is on his way down.
Roll call, please.
Representative Hortman.
Mr. Chair, this really is a good line. When it was studied before, it was identified as a line with promise. And so given the number of people who commute on Highway 12 and the fatalities on that road and the cost to upgrade that road, this really is something we should be looking at. It ties in to the metro area transit, but really could be a great commuter line to greater Minnesota. I don't know if we have the money to do it now, but it's one we really should look at.
We could extend it further, Mr. Chair, and have it go to Slayton and get
back. Somebody would inform Mr. Erdahl?
Again?
That we talked about it?
Yes.
Mr. Chair,
Representative
Erdahl. I'm going to be helpful to Representative Erdahl. I should tell you all to get his book, Uprising, and read it, because it actually is fantastic.
If you can get past the romance scene, which is up the street.
And Mr. Burris, last one.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair and members, House File 1380 is the last one on this list of bills that the committee has seen so far. And this is for Northfield Commuter Rail, the alternatives analysis for commuter rail service from Northfield to St. Paul. And the amount is $500,000.
Do you have anyone commenting?
Just as we wrap up, let me just go back a couple and say, you know, that the Cedar Avenue BRT, Representative Holberg did good work on that a couple years ago to get that going. It's what I have noted here. I call it one of the real projects. It's actually been approved. It's on the ground. It's moving. And if that money is approved, there will be some park and ride, some station enhancements. People will be working quickly on that project because it's one that's already got the stamp of approval from the Met Council and from, I believe, the transit folks as well. And let me just say about the transit studies and the park and rides, yeah, they're proving to be enormously successful, but if I can just brag for a moment, we did one in Scott County. Actually, we built two park and ride lots, enhanced one at Shepherd Lake Church, and then built a brand new one down by Southbridge Station, which is pretty much already oversubscribed. And I know we didn't have to do any bonding to do that. We just did it because it was a good idea. And I know Met Council played a significant role in helping us get that done. So as we're prioritizing these, again, I would just lend my voice that if they got real jobs that are ready to go, even if there's five real jobs and not just shovel jobs, that's a pretty cool thing. And the projects that we've already pulled the trigger on, I would urge us to let those float to the top of the list before we get into speculative ones or ones we're trying to energize for the future, at least this year. Take the ones that we've already pulled the trigger on and put the money there. Thanks.
Thank you, Representative Beard. Any other comments? If not, if you will take these and prioritize and then leave them with Abby sometime before next Tuesday. Next Tuesday,
so
we will
take home exam.
A memo, make a memo and move on that.
Okay.
Any other further questions? And I thank all of you for all the help. Since we have a meeting next Tuesday, that's our... the Finance Committee meets next Tuesday, a week from Tuesday, when the Policy Committee will meet. No further questions or comments? Be sure and turn in your thing to Abby. The meeting's adjourned.